Good morning. Now, let me start with this, a couple different things. One, I normally teach second and third grade. Every once in a while, I get to teach junior high. So, if you were talking this morning while I'm talking, I will call you out. Justin, Becca, that's you. I see you first. All right, I will call you out. Don't worry about it. Now, we have a wonderful passage this morning, and unfortunately, I only have 25 minutes to cover it with you. If I don't cover it in 25 minutes, the elders said the rod and the staff are not going to be a comfort to me. So, we got to go through this quickly. So before I have you stand and we read this passage, let me just orient you real quickly of 3 points I'm going to draw out this morning. All right, the first one is this, I shall not want. When we get to that, think of I shall not want. Am I satisfied? Am I satisfied? Number two, I will fear no evil. Do you fear evil? Are you protected today? And number three, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Are you loved this morning? Are you loved by the Lord? Please stand with me. Let's read this wonderful psalm together. It's in your bulletins if you do not have your Bible, so let's follow along. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father God, our great shepherd, this morning, as we open this passage, please, Lord, just open our hearts, open our minds, speak to us. Use the feeble words from my mouth that it may be in a small bit attributed to your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. Now let's start with a quick introduction to this psalm. Spurgeon calls this the pearl of the Psalms. He says Psalm 119 is the height of the Psalms, but Psalm 23 is the pearl. Why is that? Because it's situated perfectly after Psalm 22. Psalm 22, we end with crying out, where is my comforter? Where is my comforter? And what could follow that better than this passage today? This passage has been used all over the world for many, many years. We see it both in conflict. We see it in funerals. We see it when hard things are happening. We see this passage all over the world. It's said that billions of people can recite Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Billions with a B. That's a lot of people. You know, society loves the idea of having an absolute. They don't like the idea of fear and unknown, right? We can tell that now. They love the idea of an absolute. So this psalm can speak to believer and unbeliever alike, that we have a powerful God who condescends and communes with us on a personal level as our shepherd. This was used by a lot of world leaders. Abraham Lincoln, it said, whenever he would have to go to somebody's bedside as they were dying, would read Psalm 23 and sing a hymn. Winston Churchill used this many times in World War II as he was speaking, going through hard times. George W. Bush, if you remember on September 11th, the evening of, he quoted Psalm 23 to get us through it. Hollywood has used this psalm many times to convey different ideas, especially in old westerns. So you'll see the psalm a lot. Personally, I've been reading the psalm every morning for about a month now. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing. It's amazing what it will do for you when you read this short psalm every morning. It'll help you prioritize your day. It'll help you have comfort in what you've been given. And it'll get you through it. Philip Keller has a book. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you have not read this book, don't read it. Get the Audible version. It's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's really short. It's a wonderful book. It's a great look at this psalm. He's going to do a much better job than I will ever do talking about this psalm. So if you've never read that book, get the Audible version, listen to it. Again, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's just one movie, right? You guys can sit and listen to that. Listen to that book. It's a wonderful book. But let's dive in. Let's dive into this first portion. The Lord is my shepherd. This sets up the entire psalm. Nothing else in this psalm makes sense without understanding the Lord is my shepherd. Now let's take a look at each one of these words, the Lord. If you'll see, that Lord is all caps. Why is that Lord all caps? Because it's Yahweh. It's I am who I am. What does that mean? Well, the idea is to convey that God is completely self-sufficient. He needs nothing. He is everything. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our care. He doesn't need our help, right? He doesn't need us to worship him. He doesn't need anything from us. He's a timeless, self-sufficient God. I think of it this way. My kids, when I ask them to help me with chores, at first I think I'm being a good father, right? Hey, you guys come help me carry this wood. It'll be great. I'm going to teach you something. After about 5 minutes of them not helping the way I want, they're just getting in my way. I am self-sufficient. I don't want their help anymore. I don't need their help anymore. In fact, their help is annoying me so much, I want them just to go away. We have a God that could be like that. He doesn't need anything from us. This name Yahweh gets it across. He doesn't need anything. Not a single thing. You bring absolutely nothing to the table. In fact, you're like my kids. You're a little annoying, right? You're a little annoying, but he still loves us. Amazing. So the Lord, this great God, who doesn't need anything, still loves us. Stephen Davey puts it this way. The God who doesn't need anything is about to take care of everything we need. And what do we need? We need everything. We have nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's look at the word my now. Now, this is personalized. It doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd. The Lord this, the Lord that. It says the Lord is my shepherd. This is personal. He's your shepherd. If you know the Lord, this isn't just some transcendent God out there. This is a personal God that wants to be near you. The Lord is my shepherd, mine. Now, shepherd, let's talk about sheep for a second. Now, I was able to grow up and we had animals. We had pigs. Pigs are lovely creatures. Now, you compare them to sheep and they get even better. Sheep are dirty. They're ugly, gotta admit. Their fur gets all this stuff in it. It's so disgusting. They smell really, really bad. And they're just not fun. Pigs, on the other hand, pigs are wonderful. They just roll in the mud. They're pretty clean. They're smart. They can feed themselves. It's pretty easy. So sheep, of all the things in the world, why would we be compared to these? Right? And why would the Lord want to be a shepherd to take care of these dreadful creatures? Think of this. When the Israelites get to Egypt, right, and Joseph is introducing his father, he says, hey, don't tell him you're a shepherd. They look down on shepherds. Why? Because nobody wants to be a shepherd. It's a disgusting job. Poor David, the youngest. What happens to the youngest? They get picked on. How do they get picked on? They get to be the shepherd. Right? They shove them out in the field. You get to take care of the sheep. Now, why is this a big deal? Well, let me read this. A Bible scholar wrote this. Shepherds have to live with their sheep 24/7. Their task is unending. Day and night, summer and winter, fair weather and during lightning storms, and freezing nights, they feed, guide, and protect their sheep. Who in their right mind would ever want to be a shepherd? Let that sink in. Who in their right mind would want to be a shepherd? It's so true. Who would want to give their lives up for these sheep? Right? Maybe I make a living off of it. I don't know. Maybe they die on the way to market. Maybe this happens. Maybe that happens. We don't know. But who would want to be a shepherd? But the Lord is our shepherd. Now, let me also talk about a little of how we're like sheep. One, sheep, for the most part, are defenseless. Yes, I know. There's some sheep with horns. There's some sheep that can kick. But overall, they're defenseless. When they have any type of predator come in, what do? They sprint for the hills. They run as fast as they can. Two, sheep really lack sense of direction. If you've ever watched sheep, it's very interesting. They find one and they follow it. Now, where that sheep is taking them, you never know, but they'll follow it. There's a great story in Philip Keller's book of this sheep. So there's 1,500 sheep on a cliff, and they're grazing on this beautiful area. And this one sheep gets this great idea that I'm going to jump off this cliff and see what happens. 750 sheep jumping after that sheep later, the sheep start to live after they jump off the cliff. Because there's so many sheep at the bottom of the hill that they're landing on a padded surface. 1,200 sheep later, they're almost walking off the cliff into a pile of sheep. Why? Because sheep don't know where to go. They can't guide themselves. Just like us. Sheep can't feed themselves. Sheep will eat whatever's in front of them. Now, I got to admit, I'm kind of like that too. I like to eat whatever's in front of me. That's a good thing, sort of. But when you're a sheep and you can die from a lot of stuff, that's not a good thing. Shepherds have to help provide them their food. The other one is sheep can't go out and forage for themselves. The shepherd needs to take them to someplace. Look at our passage. Takes them to green pastures. Takes them to still water. A sheep on its own is not going to go out and try to find these things. It's interesting. When we're compared to sheep, we see it multiple times in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Every one of us has turned our own way. David himself says again in Psalm 119:176, "I have gone astray like a little lost sheep." We need a shepherd. We are sheep. We don't bring anything to the table. God brings everything. Now let's look at this next phrase, "I shall not want." I shall not want. You can literally translate this as, "I have everything that I truly need." The shepherd understands the needs of his flock. The shepherd gives you what you truly need. Now, does this say it gives me everything I want? No, I want a lot of stuff, right? I want a lot of things, and we'll get into this more, but the shepherd gives us everything I need. Why is that important? Why is that important? Now, it's important because when we have and understand that we have everything we truly need, we can abound in all these other things, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Think of it this way. I always think of it this way. The Inverness used to have this wonderful buffet. I don't know if they still do. A buffet around Easter time. You go, you get your prime rib, get your crab legs. That's a green pasture for a sheep, right? I get to go have this wonderful meal that the shepherd provides. He prepares it. We see that later, right? And I can be by still waters. I get unlimited drink. I get my iced tea. It keeps being refilled. I never have to ask the waiter to refill it. It's awesome. This is a great buffet, and I have everything I truly need. He restores me because I can be refreshed, right? I don't need anything. I can be refreshed by him. He can lead me in righteous paths. He can take me in the right, careful direction because I don't need anything. He provides everything, and it's all for his glory. Can you imagine that us who don't bring anything to the table could possibly attribute to his glory? How awesome is that? That I can be a small piece of giving him glory. It's all because I shall not want. Now, can we say this like David does? That I shall not want? I am satisfied. There's two sides to this coin. Some of us are very comforted that the Lord provides everything we need. Some of us, on the other hand, are what I'm going to call prisoners of want. Now, Keller talks about this idea of a fence-riding sheep in his book. And these are sheep that he takes to slaughter very quickly. Why does he do that? It sounds kind of mean, right? But he does that because these sheep are always looking to the next field for the greener pasture. I'm going to go over there. And what do? We've already seen they lead everyone else astray, right? This fence-riding sheep, because they want more. There's another one. Stephen Davey has a great quote. He says, "Come with me to the most populated prison in the world. The facility has more inmates than bunks, prisoners than plates, more residents than resources. No prison is so populated. No prison is so oppressive. Just ask the inmates. They will all tell you. They are overlooked and underfed. The name of the prison? The four letters on the front gate spell it out. W-A-N-T. The prison of want. You've seen your prisoners. They are always in want. They want something. They want something nicer, bigger, faster, thinner, better, newer, younger. They don't want it all now. They just want one thing at a time, mind you. Just one new couch, one new car, one new house, one new job, one more dollar, one more trip, one more toy, one more makeover, one more award, one more sale, then I'll be satisfied. The prison of want is a real thing. Can you, with David this morning, say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I am satisfied. I shall not want. I have everything I truly need." Spurgeon says this, "I have all things and I abound in all things. Not because I have a good store of money in the bank. Not because I have skill and wit with which to win my bread. But because the Lord is my shepherd. The wicked will always want, but the righteous never. A sinner's heart is far from satisfaction. But a gracious spirit dwells in the palace of the content." Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why? Because he's the good shepherd and he provides us with everything. Can you say that this morning? Let's move to this next session. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, this has been quoted by a lot of rappers over time. If you've heard rappers, they love this valley of the shadow of death. It's this cool rhyme, right? And everybody gets into it. There's this fascination we have with death and overcoming it. The fact that I can overcome death, who doesn't get into that? Who's not excited by that? Especially now, right? I can cheat death. Isn't that amazing? Now, when you talk about the valley of the shadow of death, when you're talking about a shepherd, typically this is what will happen. In the summers, the sheep will graze in the highlands. They'll graze on the mountains. They'll graze up high. It's a little cooler in the summer. It's a little nicer in the summer. And in the winters, they'll go to the lowlands, right? It's a little warmer there. There's still some grass. There's nice pastures. But in order to get between the two, they have to pass through these valleys. Now, these valleys are beautiful, lovely, gorgeous places, terrible for sheep. There's predators. There's chances of flood. There's chances of getting lost. There's chances of falling off a cliff. There's all kinds of dangers. So as they walk through these valleys, it's important they have a wonderful shepherd to keep them in line. Now, that's the valley, but we're talking about the valley of the shadow of death. It's important that we understand this is a shadow. When you're a believer, when you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, we don't fear death. We don't fear the valley of the shadow of death. Now, why does David use the word shadow here? It's very important. We're not facing death in the face because we've already won. Do you understand that? We've already won, but we do still have to face the shadow of death. It's going to look at us. Spurgeon says it this way. "This is not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. For death in its substance is gone, and only a shadow remains. Someone has said that when there is a shadow, there must be light somewhere. So there is. Death stands by the side of the highway in which we have to travel, and the light of heaven shining upon him throws a shadow across our path. Let us then rejoice that there is light beyond. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, even for a moment. The shadow of a dog doesn't bite. The shadow of a sword doesn't kill. The shadow of death will never destroy us. Let us, therefore, not be afraid." The shadow of death. We face it. We see death. We see it coming, but there's nothing to fear. This next one. "I will fear no evil." Let's focus on this. "I will fear no evil." What does that mean? Does that mean there's not going to be any evil? I don't have to worry about anything? No, it's the exact opposite. Guess what you're promised? You're promised persecution. You're promised bad things. But you can face those things knowing that we've overcome. We've overcome death. The Lord has overcome it for us. We've got nothing to fear. I don't have to fear evil. Will I dread it? Absolutely.
Can it hurt me? Yes, absolutely it can hurt me. Do I have to fear it? No, because someday I know where I'm going. It says, you are with me. Now, I always think of this, and there's lots of movies like this. You have the little kid on the playground. He's getting picked on, right? But he's kind of got that smirk on his face. He's getting picked on. It's not good, but he's still got the smirk. And the bully eventually goes, why are you still smiling, dude? I'm going to beat you up. And he goes, because that's my friend over there. And you see the big Hulk walk in, right, and beat up all the kids and save him. That's kind of what I picture with God, right? I'm the little guy. I'm getting beat up by the world. Everything's coming in on me, but I got the big guy in my corner. It's all good. It's all good, right? Someday, I will be in heaven. Everything will be fine. I've got nothing to fear on this earth because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, let's talk real quickly, rod and staff. Rod is used for two different things. Rod is a defense mechanism. Shepherds throw the rod. Shepherds hit animals with the rod to protect their sheep. But the rod is also used to measure and discipline the sheep, right? Twofold. The staff, on the other hand, is used to bring the sheep in. It's used to corral the sheep. So the Lord gives us discipline and structure and draws us closer to him with his rod and his staff. Now, it's interesting on this. I've always been of the opinion that it would be best if I didn't have rules. I could do what I want. Do what I want whenever I want. It would be so much better if we didn't have rules. Now, since then, I've met a lot of people that have grown up without rules. And do you know what they say? You had a family? You had rules? How awesome is that? Look how you turned out. Isn't that cool? There's something in us that thrives under rules, thrives under discipline, thrives knowing that that person above us is drawing us in. And the Lord is doing that as a shepherd. Let me come back to one point quickly, and then I'll go on to the next. Are you able to fear no evil? I've got a wake-up call for you. If you don't realize, we have lived in a country that has given us so much freedom for so long, that's coming to an end. Look at today. Our freedom of speech is slowly being taken away, and freedom of religion is not going to be far behind. We don't believe things that are popular in this world. And because of that, you're going to be persecuted. At some point, you will be persecuted for your beliefs. And very soon and very real, it could be our government persecuting us for those beliefs. Are you going to be able to say, I will not fear? The Lord is my shepherd? Or are you going to cower? Are you going to run away? Are you going to be scared? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now let me stop. We're back at the Inverness. We've got this awesome buffet in front of us that we can eat, that we can enjoy, that we can love. And we're just having a good old time. Now, even though we're eating at the Inverness, outside of our table, there's a whole bunch of people that want to get us. They want to get us. They want to come after us. They want to stop us. But the Lord is preparing the table, so I have nothing to worry about. I can sit and relax. Now, Americans, we eat meals really fast. I've been blessed. I've been overseas a couple times. And the thing that bothers me more than anything is how long a meal takes. If a meal takes me more than 10 minutes, I've got a problem. I don't want to sit there any longer. We don't need to talk. We talk all the time. We don't need to do that. Let's just eat and go, right? That's our mentality. I'm really good at that mentality, obviously. But in other countries, a meal is 3, 4, 5, 6 hours long because you're relaxing. That's your time to rejuvenate. That's your time to refresh. I was in Brazil and we had a meal, a full meal, not courses. They serve you the full meal, but then they expect you to sit for 2 hours basically and talk. And it just kills me. I'm going, what are you doing? They're like, well, this is our refresh time. We get to know each other. We get to have relaxation. We don't have to worry about life because everybody is at this meal. It's kind of a shock, and that's what the Lord is doing for us. He's preparing a table, even though I'm surrounded by enemies, so that I can relax with him, that I can be with him. And this is personal. He anoints my head with oil. He comes and personally prepares this table, personally anoints my head with oil, so that I need nothing. My cup overflows. I have abundance. I need nothing else.
Now this next section, very important. Surely, I hate the word surely here, right? Surely doesn't do justice to what this says. Absolutely, resolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, goodness, goodness, abundant care, giving without stop, always giving, and mercy, loving kindness shall follow. Again, terrible translation. Will pursue you. These words actually mean they will pursue you, not follow you. They're going to pursue you. So absolutely, absolutely abundant care and love will pursue you all the days of your life. Let's look at that for a second. All the days of my life. What if I'm having a bad day? Will there be abundant care and loving kindness for me? Yes. What if it's a good day? Yes. What if I feel like I deserve it today? Do I get it that day? Absolutely. What if I feel like I absolutely do not deserve it? Do I get it? Yeah. Does anything I do actually matter? No. Absolutely. Abundant care and loving kindness will follow you all the days of your life. And not only that, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at our death. Because it goes on to say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord has already prepared a place for you next. We already know where we're going. We don't have to worry about it. I know where I'm going. And it's to dwell with my Father, my true Father, forever. Not as a sheep any longer, not as that disgusting animal, but as a child of the King. Now let me just go through this one more time. Can you say with me, I shall not want, I am satisfied? Can you say, I will fear no evil because I am protected by my shepherd? Can you say, goodness and mercy will follow me because I am loved? Let me read this psalm one more time in my own words. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything. I'm completely satisfied. He helps me to rest in him, and he refreshes my soul continually. He leads me down the righteous path, and I am able in some small, tiny way to give glory to his name. Even though I may face persecution and even death, I have nothing to fear. I'm protected. I have the Lord Almighty God in my corner, and instead of fear, I can be comforted. Lord, you allow me to enjoy your presence, even when I am surrounded by this world and its enemies. I have everything I need and more. I can stand resolute that you will always pursue me, whether I deserve it or not, with abundance and love. And when this life is over, I will come home and I will dwell with you forever, forever. Father God, our shepherd, we come before you. You bring everything to us. We bring nothing to the table. You give us all we need. This morning I pray, Lord, I plead, Lord, that you would just give us that comfort, that you would just let us know your presence is there, that you would shelter us. Lord, I pray for anyone here who doesn't have that comfort, doesn't have that shelter, that they would come to a saving grace of you and would be able to enjoy your presence forever. Amen.